Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
There are four types of giving mentioned in the Bible. Four different categories, if you will, of giving. And every single one of them brings a different response from God. Sometimes the responses overlap a little bit. And so what I wanted to do this morning with you is to share with you what God has to say about those four sorts of types of giving and kind of his promise to you or the blessings associated with them. It's interesting because they each have a very different purpose. And some of them have very little input from God. So the first sort of giving that God talks about is a giving God our first fruits. And you have to understand just a little bit about this because this started in the Old Testament. And it actually, we have kind of the first recorded example of it with Cain and Abel, where they began to produce things. Remember that they were the Garden of Eden. Either they had been in the Garden of Eden or they were born right shortly after the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were kicked out. They were kicked out because of a sin. And they were banished out of that place. And so they had to begin to work the ground at a different wheel. Before they tended the garden, they took care of things, they trimmed things. God had arranged and planted and grown this amazing place that was to be theirs. And after the garden, they had to work hard. There were thorns and there were animals that were difficult to deal with, pests, if you will. In the garden, everything had a purpose. There was no nuisances. There were no pests. After the garden, there were a lot of difficult things. How many of you here are gardeners? We got a few. Not many. Wow. There's a lot of work in good gardening, isn't there? There's a lot of good work. And that's what Cain and Abel had to do. They had to do that hard work. Cain chose to raise animals for food and milk and so on. Wool and so on. Abel was a farmer and he grew crops. And it says in the course of time that Cain brought of the fruit of his labor. That was the description of Cain's offering. And then it said of Abel brought of the first fruits of his produce. So you have Cain bringing animals for sacrifice. You have Abel bringing first fruits of his crops and so on. And I might have mixed the two of those up, and I apologize if I did. What happened? Well, God accepted Cain, and he didn't accept Abel. And why was that? Well, the purpose of the first fruit was this: to show God gratitude for a new thing. It was to go into a new area and to show God gratitude for something new. Cain and Abel began the first farming projects that were known of. And so taking some of their work, taking some of their effort, they went to God. The difference was that one, the one that was not accepted, brought sometime during the course of time, Abel brought the very first fruits of what he did. First fruits offering is when you go into a new thing. The idea is this: when you start something new, maybe it's a new job. In the children of Israel's life, they were commanded to do first fruits offerings when they entered the land, when they took possession of the promised land that they were given. They were to take of all of the first fruits of the land. Look at it: for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of everything, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. New Testament passage: seek ye first the kingdom of God, and what happens? All those things are added unto you. It is the first, giving of the first. Another verse in Proverbs 3:9: honor the Lord with your capital and your sufficiency from righteous labors, and with the first fruits of your income, then your barns will be abundantly filled, and your vats will overflow with new wine. When you start a new venture and God increases you as a result of that venture, that is first fruits. And here's the thing: it's totally optional. God doesn't say you have to do that. God doesn't say in the New Testament, you have to do this. But what God does do is he gives a promise associated with it. I know a number of authors who are fine Christian authors who gave all the proceeds from their first book, all the proceeds from their first book to God. Every Christian author that I know that did that had 30 or 40 more books. It was amazing. God promises this. This is what will happen. Your barns will be abundantly filled. Now, if you're giving first fruits and your barns will be abundantly filled, what does that kind of tell you right there? Just think that through for a second. If you're giving fruits and your barns are full, then it means that you'll have a blessing, obviously based on you using principles that are godly and so on. You'll have a blessing on the endeavor. Farmers giving first fruits had barns full of fruits, didn't they? It was interesting how God did that. And your vats will flow with wine. Obviously, people raising grapes for drinking and for wine and so on. So what is the promise that God gives in first fruits? He says, look, if you'll give me the first fruits, this is not the tithe. This is the first fruits. If you'll give me that, I promise you success in your endeavor if you're using godly principles. I promise you that. And I'll fill your barn. It's interesting that the Jews, when they practice this, and this is a reenactment of the first fruits offering when they came into the land, they filled baskets full of fruit, vegetables, things that they had baked, they filled, and they took it to the house of God. And there they held it before God and said, this is the tribute. And there was actually a prayer for them. It said, we wandered in the wilderness. We were captives in Egypt. And you've brought us to a new place. It's a new direction. You've brought us to this great new place. And God, we want to give you thanks. What's the purpose of first fruits? To honor God and give him thanks for the new thing that he has done in our lives. So one of the things that the Bible mentions again is first fruits. It's one of the ways that people can give. You're not told that you have to do that in the New Testament, but God honors it and blesses it mightily. The next thing that we have after that is what we call sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. And it's a very interesting thing when you sow and reap. And sometimes there's a little bit of overlap in some of these. But the whole concept of sowing and reaping is that you actually control every portion of this part except for one. God gives you things in your life. He blesses you. He rebukes the devourer. He talks about if you're doing the first fruits, that your barns will be filled. You'll have these extra things. And God says, okay, now you have an opportunity now to do some very special things. It comes under this idea of sowing and reaping. And here's kind of what we'll plan to do with that. We're going to give you seed. And you actually get to choose where you use it. You actually get to pick kind of what you're going to do with it. But I would make some suggestions to you. What you sow into, that's what is going to come up. Remember the verse in Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For the one who sows to his flesh, his sinful capacity, his worldliness, his disgrace, impulses, will reap also from the flesh, ruin and destruction. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary or become discouraged in doing good, for in proper time we will reap if we don't give in. Now, we can put our money, our seed, in different things. Some people eat their seed. They consume absolutely everything God gives them. And there's people that do that. And if you eat the tithe and eat your seed, then you live, in most cases, a miserable existence because the devourer has not been rebuked. You're not under the windows of blessing, and so things are difficult. Some people take their tithe and they give it to ministries and they don't return it to God. And by the way, the whole concept of returning it to God is you're giving it to the house of worship where you attend. Okay, that's the whole concept of that. So to give your tithe to a ministry somewhere, while it may be a great ministry, that is not putting you under the window of heaven. God says, return to me that first 10%. Return to me, to the house of worship, where you are being fed. So what happens is this, God says this. Now, there is this thing called seed, and you're going to have some of it. And I'm going to give you these amazing opportunities in your life, and you can plant some of it where you would like. I'll let you choose where that seed goes. If you choose to use it on worldly things, if you choose to use it just fulfilling your own desires of whatever, then guess what? That's what's going to multiply. That's what's going to grow. That's what's going to be inside of you. But if you will partner with me and you will do things that are based on my leading and things that I show interest in for you, if you'll do that, then I'm going to multiply that seed. It's interesting, in 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says this, remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously, that blessing may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessing. You put in one seed, you get out one plant. You put in a lot of seeds, you get a lot of plants. It's interesting how God works that out. You know, in that parable of the sower, he talks about some ground being rocky ground. It's not really a good place to plant. And there are opportunities in our lives to give it to some organizations that just don't make good use of the funds. They're not honoring God. And they're not good places to plant. There's other types of places that are shallow. And the plants grow up and there's no roots and the sun kills them very quickly. But there are others that are good ground. It's good ground. It's fertile soil. And God says, hey, when you plant in those areas of good ground and good soil, your plant is going to come up. And there's going to be some things that produce 30-fold and some 60 and some 100-fold. And it is going to be truly amazing, the blessing of what God does in your lives. But it's up to you. If you think of the parable of the talents, the master went away and he entrusted 10 talents to one person. And by the way, the word talents is referring to, in that specific location, silver, somewhere around $10,000 in current times. So $10,000. Another one was 3 talents. So $10,000 times 10 is $100,000. 3 was the second one, $30,000. And another one, $10,000. And he talks about going away and coming back and then settling accounts with his people. And as he settles accounts with them and he talks with them, the guy that had 10 talents of silver invested it wisely. He put it into the right sort of things. And he said, look, God, look what happened here. I had your 10 talents and I've invested it well. And look at what it has produced. And in that portion, it's talking about actually touching people. Look what it produced. Your 10 talents has produced 10 more talents. God says, that's awesome. Blessings. You were a good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy that I have. You will be given much. The man with 3 talents gets the same exact reward as the guy with 10 talents. But the guy with 1 talent, who said, I was afraid, I don't know, I just didn't do it. You know, I thought about it, but I just kind of buried it all. I just didn't do anything with it. God's response to him was, you wicked, wicked servant. You knew I collected where I hadn't sown. The end result is he's given heavy, heavy judgment. And the whole idea of that was this: God gave you opportunities. He gave you blessings. He gave you many, many possibilities. And he says, just pick your soil well. Pick what you're going to sow in well. Choose wisely. Don't put it all in one spot, but spread it around. But pick well. And I'll bless it. And some of it's going to come up in amazing abundance. And some of it's going to come up in some abundance. But it's all going to come up and it's all going to be blessed. And oh, by the way, the blessing here on earth that happens is just a small token of what you'll have in heaven. Because what you sow here not only comes up here, but the eternal reward comes up in heaven. The last one, and we need to be quick to finish off, is alms. Alms. The Bible mentions it, and if you come from a Catholic background, that term is very commonly used. The Bible talks about helping the poor. God talks about the necessities of those that need it. Proverbs 19:17, whoever has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deeds. When you give to the poor, what are you doing according to God's word? When God touches you and says, hey, help that person out that is in need, what is he doing? You're actually lending to God. And while God says we shouldn't be charging interest as we help people out, he pays with extraordinary interest. This is the interest when you lend and help the poor. Blessed is the one who has concern for the helpless. The Lord will rescue him in times of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive. That's in life-threatening situations. By the way, I've had more of those than you can count. He will be blessed in the land. Do not place him at the mercy of his enemies. The Lord will support him on his sick bed. He will restore this person to health when he is ill. That's a pretty amazing blessing, isn't it? God says, hey, when you help the poor, you're being my hands and feet, and you're lending to me, and I'm going to pay it back, trust me. But along with paying it back, there's a few extra benefits I want you to have. There's a few extra things I want you to experience. We don't give to get. We don't give because, I'm going to give this and so that God will give me something better. That's not the point. You give because it's laid on your heart. You give because you're thankful to God. You give because he touches you. And it was what you were created to do. He put everything in you for that moment. And so you give. But God never forgets. He doesn't forget. And so you give a car, it's the best you got, and you give it. And you say, okay, God, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. And you hear these people praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We didn't know what we were going to do. Thank you, Jesus. And they're so grateful to God. And then out of the blue, sometimes it's a month, sometimes it's a year, sometimes it's whatever, your car wears out. And somebody calls and says, hey, I think you need a car. God told me you needed a car. And you go, what? What? Are you serious? Yeah. Come pick it up. There are times that God has you collide with people who are desperate. When you are the hands of God, when you are the one that shows his love, their voice rises up in praise. People who don't even know God praise him because of what you did. And the promises, when you do that, are out of this world. God chose you. God chose you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the fact that you choose people like us. You choose people like me, so inadequate. And yet you say, if you're just willing, I will do great things. If you'll put me first, if you'll give me your heart, I will do great things. I will bless you so that you can be a blessing to other people. And as you're faithful, I'll multiply those blessings. Your influence for me will expand so that my name goes far. And people who don't even know me will begin to praise me. Because you are my hands. Lord, I thank you for the fact that you love us in that way. And that here on earth, it's just the beginning. It's literally the boot camp for what comes next. An eternity where what we've done on earth will echo throughout eternity. The seed that we sow, the alms that we give, the tithes that we've returned to God, the first fruits echo throughout eternity. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you that our future is secure when we know you. It all starts with that. It all starts with knowing you, knowing that you died for us, knowing that you love us, knowing that you paid every debt and healed every disease with your stripes on the cross, so that there was nothing left but us just accepting and coming to you. This exchange where we say we'll start this relationship that will last a lifetime, this amazing ride, by knowing you. Lord, I ask that people be affected deeply by knowing you. Stand, if you will, for just a second. Prayer team, if you will, come forward. You know, if you're here and this is new to you, or if you're here and you just don't really know kind of what we're talking about, this knowing God, it'd be a terrible shame to go through all this and not understand the fact that a loving God died for your sins. The sins that separate us from God. And it doesn't take a bunch of sins. You can be a very righteous person, but if you've got one, it's enough to separate you from God. But Jesus Christ, in his infinite wisdom, became God's first fruits offering. And he went to a cross. After living 33 perfect years, not one single sin, putting all of his God power on a shelf. He didn't lose it. He chose not to use it so he would face every temptation, like you and me, every single temptation that we could face. And so that when you come to him, he could say, I know what it felt like. I faced the temptation of sexual sin, and I didn't give in. I didn't succumb to it. I faced the sin of stealing, and I didn't do it. Gluttony, of lying, my mental life. I faced all of that for 33 years so that I could be the perfect offering. Without a spot, without a blemish, without a single sin, I could pay for every single sin in this world. And then it would be up to you. I'll offer it to every single person. Offer it to everybody. But I'm not going to force them, just like I'm not going to force them to give. I'm not going to force them. I am just going to offer it to them, and I'm going to say, look at my hands. Nail prints. If you'll do it, I'll exchange my righteousness for your sin. And I'll make a right standing between you and God. And I'll start a relationship that will be amazing and powerful. But it's going to require you choosing me. I'll call your name. I'll draw you. I'll make billboards that talk about me. I'll have radio programs and television programs and neighbors and friends and coworkers that will all mention me. But it's about you choosing me. Will you choose me? And that's where we stand. And some of you have chosen him. And all of this is part of the world and life you walk in. But in a group this size, I can't help but think that there are some bodies, there are some people that never did. I want to encourage you this morning, choose God. Choose God.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.